heard earlier, our theme is healing. We will be looking at it from the view of the individual, the community, and even on a systemic level. It's a big topic, and it deserves several Sundays of attention. Healing is a process. Our theme is not healed, or whole, or perfection. Our theme is healing, that process of becoming healed. And like with all processes, it is never quite done, and there are different ways to get there. But where do we begin? I personally think that we begin with kindness. And here I would like to point out that I am speaking from a place of absurd privilege. I am white, healthy, educated, with few money worries. My children all have enough to eat. I do not fear for my life. I can walk through the streets with confidence that I will not be randomly stopped, harassed, or killed. I have at times experienced systemic sexism. I have been told to smile more or less. I have had folks question my ability to minister given that I am female. I have had male colleagues and congregation members, not here, speak over me and interrupt me regularly, repeatedly, without thought. But in the large picture of the world at this time, those microaggressions I experience are minimal. Way more often, I am part of the privileged, not the marginalized. And I recognize that in saying healing begins with kindness, I am speaking at that very moment out of my privilege. If my child had been gunned down in the streets by a police officer, I don't know that I would be saying healing begins with kindness. If I had been followed for the umpteenth time in a store because of my skin color, I don't know that I would say healing begins with kindness. If the grocery store cashier yet again asked for my ID when using a credit card, but clearly had not done so for the three white folk in front of me, I don't know that I would say that healing begins with kindness. This is also to say that there may be differing paths to healing. Someone else's path may start in a different place and follow a different trajectory. And that's okay. If there's one thing we UUs know, it is that there are multiple truths. But what I can do is speak from my own experience. And if that experience speaks to your heart, wonderful. And if it does not, hopefully you will hear something that touches you this morning. And always, always, I invite you to stay in conversation with me. So perhaps I should amend the beginning of this sermon to say, one place to start the healing process is with kindness. And I want to be clear that kindness is not sweetness. It is, in fact, really hard and difficult. My mother used to say, I think if I were in the South, I would say, my mother, bless her soul, used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. That is not kind. That is not even sweet. That is just conflict avoidant. When I was in high school, I remember one of my advisors was asked what trait or characteristic would she like to be known for in her life? And her answer was kindness. This was many years ago, and I remember internally rolling my eyes. You remember what my mother said to me, so it was all internal. And thinking to myself, really? Kindness? That's all? I mean, aren't you just sort of underachieving? But she knew something that I did not. I was raised with a very waspish sense of kindness. It meant not risking embarrassing someone, which meant not asking folks directly how they were doing, because one could not, of course, admit to difficulties. It meant keeping conversations on a really shallow level. which really was not about kindness, but instead was about protecting oneself. Because if I truly ask you how you are doing, I might have to deal with your feelings. And if I have to deal with your feelings, I might actually have to deal with my feelings. Not done in a waspish family. Fast forward 8 years or so, I was in seminary, an educational process where you soak up all this learning, and at the same time, it kind of wrings out all the old learnings, too. There is both an excitement about learning and discovery and a sort of existential panic. At least there was for me. And at one point, I was in one of those moments of existential wondering and panic, and a friend of mine, who had been a minister for a while, who was kind and wise and wonderful, asked me how I was doing. But he didn't just say, "How are you doing?" He said, "How are you, really?" And it was just that little, "really." And like an hour and a half later, I said, "I am so sorry. You just asked me how I was doing, and I completely unloaded on you." And he said to me in all kindness, "I've been in ministry long enough to know that the question, 'How are you doing?' really often has a very long answer." His kindness was a turning point for me in a way. I was on the receiving end of true kindness, not the niceness I had been trained in. I think he saw someone who needed to be heard, and he asked the question in a kind way that allowed me to really talk. And he was there for 90 minutes, listening and holding all of what was my mess. This world is broken. Most of us, if not all of us, are broken. I think I have been a Unitarian Universalist long enough now that I found that as I was writing that sentence, I began to argue with myself about what I mean here. Because we buck and bristle against any sense of sin or being wrong or negative judgment. And the philosopher in me thinks, you know, if the reality is we're all broken, as I truly believe, then is it right to really call that broken? I mean, isn't that just the standard, the way everyone is? And we UUs sometimes have a sort of twitchy reaction to Christianity and some of its words like sin or brokenness that are often connected to that tradition. Because if Jesus was perfect and was the only person who could be perfect, then the game is rigged and we are off on that old theist, atheist, humanist debate. But that is not what I think of when I say the world is broken. Because what if the statement, "This world is broken, I am broken, you are broken," is not a theological statement? What if it is not a statement of how valuable or not valuable any one of us is? What if it is not a statement about how come we are not perfect? What if none of those ideas matter? Imagine you could just wash all those arguments away. Maybe then we could see that saying the world is broken is a feeling statement. What if saying the world is broken is an expression of what it feels like to be in this world? There is pain in this world that is unmanageable. The racism in this country is soul-crushing. The bombing of Syria is beyond understanding. If you read the Atlantic article, you know that we live in one of the poorest cities in America. Broken doesn't even begin to express my feelings about all of this. Babies die and evil people seem to prosper. Broken just barely begins to describe this world. And I simply cannot leave the brokenness be. I believe that we as Unitarian Universalists are called to work to heal the brokenness of this world. This means that you and I must work to heal the brokenness in each of us, and then reach out and work to heal the brokenness in the world around us as we find it. But how to do that? Because it's a lot of brokenness. When my mother died, the first of my husband's and my parents to die, a wise, wise person said to me, "Now is the time for you two to be gentle with one another." And perhaps that's really what I mean by kindness. Treating others with gentleness, with care, with compassion. Sometimes broken means something is not working. A car is broken when it will not run. A light bulb is broken when it will not turn on. But something can also be broken when it is broken into pieces, like a plate that is dropped on the floor. And this is how I think of the brokenness of this world. It is broken when we are separated from one another. Rumi said, "Grief is the garden of compassion." Compassion is that quality of being connected. Grief is negative emotions around being separate. So how do we transform our sense of separation into a lived experience of being connected? That is one way to heal the world, and one of the first steps is this deeply profound sense of kindness. And if you are in your head like me when I heard my advisor rolling your internal eyes and thinking, "This is just a little naive," hear this story. Kim Crawford Harvey is the senior pastor at Arlington Street Church in Boston. She's a rock star of our movement. A queer woman who has been the senior pastor at one of our flagship churches for 27 years. And if you ever get a chance to hear her preach, do it. But that was not her first church. Her first church was the Provincetown UU congregation. She thought she'd show up at this little UU congregation in a town that had like 1,400 residents year-round, but 14,000 in the summertime, and do a lot of sweet, nice, small church ministry with a bunch of folks with white hair. That was her vision. She began her pastorate there just as the AIDS epidemic reared its ugly head. Her 4 years there were essentially hospice work, being with people as they got the news that they had AIDS, visiting the dying, comforting them, leading funerals, creating a space in the worship service for folks who were no longer mobile to be on their pallets in the sanctuary, comforting the bereaved, every Sunday wondering if this was the last time she would see her congregation. It's an amazing story to hear from her, because at the time, no one knew really what AIDS was, and no one knew who would die from it, and there were moments in her ministry when she thought everybody in that congregation was going to die. She tells a story of going out on a boat with a man named Paul, who was dying of AIDS, and one of the last things he wanted to do in his life was to go on a boat ride. And so she did, because, you know, that's what pastors do. She said, "The temptation to drown in sorrow in that church threatened to undo me. And it was Paul who separated the pain from the suffering. On that boat ride, he said to her, 'Even if whatever this is kills every one of us, even if there is no one left to tell stories, it matters that we care for each other. In all this madness, it matters that even in the face of death, we cared for one another. In this time, in this place, with all we hear on the news and social media, there is a temptation to drown in our sorrow, to be undone. But the good news is that we matter a lot. It matters that we are kind and compassionate and care for one another. It matters that we are kind and compassionate and care for those who are not part of this community. It matters. It is a clear path to healing. In a world without end, may this be so.